The reading is from Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
We're starting a series just with Pentecost. A lot of times around this time of year, around Pentecost, we've done something on the Holy Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and into the upper room and totally turned the church around. So we often do something, but this year we were looking and just wanted to try and do something slightly different. And so we just decided to look at it. We're calling it the Holy Spirit yesterday, today, and forever. Because we often reference the Holy Spirit. Actually, quite often. We're not afraid here to talk about the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you, in the last 100 years, and actually we're now going a little over 100 years, and it's starting to die away, but there's been a little bit of controversy about what the Holy Spirit does. Or, let me clarify, not maybe what he does, but what does he still do? So there was this going on, but does he do that anymore? And there was just a lot of stuff, and I don't want to get into why all that happened, but it happened, and there was just a lot of, we started seeing the last 15 years or so sort of turn a little bit, but people were almost afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit, a lot of churches. If you talked about the Holy Spirit, you might be a wild Pentecostal. And, you know, what might happen? People might start dancing in church or something. So you had this whole tension, and I think things are working on balancing out. But we're saying here is if he did it then he can do it now. I don't believe much has changed. Me personally, I don't think much has changed. I'm not here to try and convince you that I'm correct, that the stance of our church is correct, or the stance of anybody's correct. But what I do want to propose to you is that if we look at what the Holy Spirit did in the Old Testament, then we look at what the Holy Spirit did in the New Testament, and then we look at what the Holy Spirit's been doing throughout history. If we look and see that the Holy Spirit's been doing the same thing the whole time, I think that we can expect that the Holy Spirit's going to do it now. Correct? Amen. So the thing is we could get into all types of other stuff. There's all types of things that maybe, you know, I don't even want to get into all that. We just want to have a basic, solid message that the Holy Spirit has been doing this throughout history. Old Testament, New Testament, and today. So, any of you own a food processor? No? Okay, yeah, we just got one. I've worked at places that had them and really liked it. And I realized that if I wanted got one, I've used cheap ones. If I got one, I wanted to get a good one. So just a few months ago, we bought one, a nice one, real quiet, but that thing has a motor. I can take and literally, slice some cucumbers, a whole cucumber, that fast. And we have cucumber slices that fast. It's amazing. This food processor is actually amazing. And then grating cheese. I mean, yeah, you can only fit so much cheese, but literally a chunk of cheese like that fast. It's done. I don't have to worry about scraping my nails or my knuckles on a grater. Nothing. It's an amazing thing. But the thing is that really, what is a food processor doing? Just cutting, right? So it's just cutting. So if we go back, if we go backwards, I could tell this story the other direction, but I can go backwards from in my life. Is that so? I had gone from that. Before that, I still use them, but I have some really nice knives. I don't know if any of you use really nice knives, but I had someone once tell me, oh, their Ginsu was so great, and they're cutting tomato, and I went and took my knife, and I set it on there, on the tomato, and I went like that, and it just fell down through the tomato. Okay, you know, so it's like, no, see, you're having to do this through tomato. I just go like that, and it falls through. So really, I have some really nice knives. So that's maybe a step down in ease from the thing. But part of the reason I got those good knives is because, have you ever smashed a tomato with a knife when you're trying to cut it? Yeah, so, but still cuts the tomato, right? But, so it still cuts the tomato. Now, if we take it back even another step, if we take it back, let's just go back to caveman days. Is they were taking rocks, flint stone, and different stuff like that, rocks and getting sharp rocks and cutting things, and they worked. They cut up animals, you know, with it. They skinned hides with rocks. So we had this whole transition. The whole time, they were just cutting, right? But maybe the thing changed. And this is something about the Holy Spirit. There's certain things that the Holy Spirit does and has always done, and we can always expect him to do. Just like all the way from caveman days to now, we have found tools to cut with. And the Holy Spirit has certain things that have just, he does the same thing. Sometimes they look different, but there's just some basic things that the Holy Spirit always does. This week, though, in this Holy Spirit series, we're going to start with the first mention of the Holy Spirit. Anyone knows where the first mention in the Bible of the Holy Spirit is? Genesis 1. Yes, Genesis 1, and we could say 1, 2, but I'm going to read that here. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of the God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So it's Genesis 1, 1 and 2. And just a little side thing here is actually what we see there, the word Spirit, when it says the Spirit was hovering, actually probably isn't the first mention of the Spirit. So if those, I don't want to do a message on the Trinity, but I will tell you that when it says that God there is a plural form of God. So, plural form of God. So we see allusions to the Holy Spirit and the Trinity right there in the first verse. And then we see that the Holy Spirit was right there in creation, hovering the waters, involved in creation. So, so the thing is then, if we jump to verse 26 in chapter 1, in chapter 1 of Genesis, it says, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Let us. Now, again, we go and every mainstream Christian theologian would say that that us is referring to the Trinity. So God, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is there involved in making us into the image of God. And making us to be like them. It's just amazing. It's really an amazing thing. But the Holy Spirit is right there involved in creation. Right there involved in creation in a powerful way. He has a personal investment in people throughout history, throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, and up till today. And he has a personal investment in you, each and every one of you. Personal investment. Personal investment. If he did it then, if he did it for those people, he can do it today for you. So he not only helped create you, but also gave you your breath of life and gave you your breath of life. But he's also there to help you along the way. We can see, again, the helper when we're in times of needs. Okay, I'm just touching that because that's a whole other message. But the Holy Spirit is there to help you, not just involved in creating you, but there to help you. But the second thing, really similar, but that's really the most amazing part for us, is what's often called, some of you may know, but a more theological term, but regeneration. Or we could simplify this. We often have that term being born again. Being born again. So Is this just a New Testament thing, being born again?
No.
No, we can see examples all over. We can see one of the biggest ones is Jacob being almost born again, transformed into Israel. The guy who was a swindler. We have these transformations of people, even in the Old Testament. We have these amazing transformations where God takes somebody who is a certain way and sort of gives them, breathes a new life into them and turns them into someone else. And that's an amazing thing. I don't know, have any of you, I mean, how many of you feel like you've experienced that? Yeah. Because I will say there are some people who, Sarah Coho, she would say, well, no, I just grew up always feeling like I knew the Lord. So we do have some of those people, and there are some people who just make a decision and move on. But there are many of us, and myself, where I've said it over and over again here, but I firmly believe I'd be in prison or dead if God hadn't come in, if the Holy Spirit hadn't come in and transformed my life. I was a bad person. Again, many of those bad things are things that probably my wife and maybe no one else maybe will ever know some of those things. So I personally know that the Holy Spirit can come and work and transform you and turn you into a new person. Those things that maybe burden you, and I know for some things it's longer and where a couple of years ago, I'll just throw this out here, not in my notes, but it was a profound thing for me. But just as we're, because I know some people, let me back up. I know that many people, I've had many things, even for myself, that were God delivered me in an instant. And I've had other things I've had to work through. And I believe that both are spiritual works. The thing is, if we look at the Bible where it talks about that no temptation has seized you, except which is common to everybody. So if we look at that this is something I preached on a couple of years ago, but it was profound to look in the Greek and see that when it says that God is faithful to provide a way out, that way out is a singular, the Greek there, it's a singular event that happens over a period of time. And then, so a singular event, the deliverance is a singular event, but it might happen over a period of time. And if we go back to the beginning of that chapter, it's referencing the Israelites in the desert. So people who were delivered, a singular deliverance event, but happened over a period of time. So there is a spiritual work for those of you who maybe are struggling over and over and over again. And you just feel like, man, I'm not getting anywhere. Where's this deliverance? Where's this mighty power? I have those things myself. However, I will tell you, there's things that have changed in me that no power, no wisdom, no drug on this earth has found a cure for, and I have been delivered. And I will just tell you that the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, making us a new person is powerful. So when we look at that, Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27, I believe the scripture passage was very similar to this that was read by Larissa. I think that was out of 11. But moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Again, how many of you say, yes, I've experienced that. I have. I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and bring you about that and bring it about that you may walk in my statutes and are careful to follow my ordinances. That's powerful. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to come in and make us a new person, to take those things that we just don't even like or things that hinder us, and just take them out, and we become new people, new creations in Christ. That's done through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. Another verse here in John, it says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back to his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. So we see there's something about this, the Spirit's involved, not only in creating us in that birth, but also in our new birth when we give our lives to Christ. He comes in and we become born again. We become new people through the power of the Holy Spirit. So why do we need to begin be born of the Spirit again? The Holy Spirit helped create all of us, whether we give our lives to God or not. The Holy Spirit was still there, still has a personal investment. So why do we need to be born again of the Spirit? In Romans 8, 7 through 9, it says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those of you who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Amazing, amazing stuff. He's done it before, he can do it again. And I know most of you in here. So the thing is, but I always want to, when we're talking about this, I always want to not, I don't want to pass up an opportunity. If you say, hey, I'm hearing about this life and this this new life living in the Spirit and a life where I can please God, and you don't understand what that is, we would love to pray with you or talk to you after the service. I mean, you can feel free to come up. We have someone pray with you. We would love to walk you through the steps to living a new life, to becoming a new creature, a new person, a new creation in Christ, where you can get a heart, take the heart of stone out and replace with the heart of flesh. We would love to do that. We'd love to walk you through it. So I don't want to pass up that opportunity. And those online, just feel free to give us a call, email us, send us a message through Messenger, comment in there. We'll get a hold of you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if this new creation thing just doesn't even make sense to you, we would love to walk you through that and just help you become a new creation. So, in closing, I just want to invite you to, whether it's sitting there, you can come on up. If you want someone to pray with you, we can find someone will pray with you. But just sit there, and whether you do that or it's just while the worship song is going on, take some time and just say, just ask the Holy Spirit, I need help here. I need some new life. There's a part of my era, this part of my life sort of died a little. And I need some new life in there. The Holy Spirit's there for you. He created you. He's been there all along, every step of the way, and he's here today too. So just to cry out if there's anything, just you say, I've got some place that needs new life. I need new life, or I need to be restored in a certain area. Let's just do that and cry out to God. I'm just going to, again, the altar will be open during this last song. Again, he's done it before, and he can do it again, which is going to be the song that we're going to be singing. And he can do it now. But Lord, I just pray right now, Lord. I just pray for your Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and bring a refreshing. Come and bring life to the dry bones. Come and heal those. Take the heart of stone out and replace it with a heart of flesh. I just pray that you just come, Lord, for each person here who has something. I'm sure we all have something. Lord, that you would just come and refresh us today.